Church, we are in week 3 of a sermon series entitled Thrive, and if we are going to be a thriving believer in Jesus, if we are going to be a thriving body of Christ, then there are a few things that we need to make sure that we are doing. First and foremost, we need to have complete clarity of who we are and who and what we are called to do. We are called to love God and to love our neighbor. We are called to go and share the good news of Jesus with all of the world. And so if we want to thrive in our relationship with God and our relationship with one another and in being the body of Christ, we've got to make sure that we are completely clear that we love God, we love people, and we share his hope with the world. But not only do we need to share the good news by words, but also in actions, that when we leave this space, that we go and we do as the woman at the well did. We tell anyone and everyone what Jesus has done for us, that Jesus has transformed our lives. We can't hold back, but instead we need to go, right? Our faith is active. That's to be a thriving believer in Jesus. And today we are going to continue to talk about what it means to thrive in our faith, and it's going to require an attitude of abundance. And so the Word of God is going to demonstrate that to us this morning. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads before we get into the Word. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the Scripture that we're about to hear. And Lord, I ask that we lean in and listen and be changed by what you have to say to us today. God, I always humbly ask that you would speak in me, through me, if necessary, in spite of me. But I really pray this prayer for all of us, that we would be open to hearing from you. God, speak to each of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, or if you have a Bible app, or you can follow along on the screen, I am reading today from Luke chapter 5, and as Reagan introduced that to us, we are going to be hearing the calling of the disciples. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Peter's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. We find Jesus. He's at the beginning of his ministry in the book of Luke. He hasn't yet called the disciples, but in this story, he does. He's been healing and teaching. Crowds of people started to follow him. We can say, gossip. And not all gossip is bad. But people started to talk, and people were talking, and they were hearing about this man who could heal people. So they started to follow, and they started to gather around him, and that's where we find ourselves. His boat of choice just happened to be from a guy named Simon. Simon had just come in for a night of fishing, and he was cleaning up. He was ready to go home, and he wanted to go to bed. You've been there before, tired after a long day of work, and you just wanted to go home and turn on the television and put your feet up. We can relate to Simon. Anyone who has worked the night shift can really relate to Simon. Yet Jesus took over and he disrupted Simon and the other fishermen's plans. Excuse me, could you just stop a minute? I know you are tired and you want to go home, but I need to borrow your boat for a minute. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Kind of bossy, huh? Not bossy, but what is it? Motivational, maybe? And then Jesus started to teach. Crowds of people were gathered. He made himself at home in someone else's boat. And then when he was finished and it was time, he said to the fishermen, "Hey, let's go back out and let's do some more fishing." "What? Excuse me? We've been fishing all night. We're tired. We've been waiting for you to finish up your preaching." I hope you don't say that about me, but sometimes I think you do. "You're long-winded. Stop. We want to go home. We've been there. We haven't had any success." Excuse me? They had all the excuses. And whether they said that out loud or not, we don't know. Maybe they whispered to one another out of Jesus' earshot. But yet there was something that made them do it anyways. And they took the boats back out. And they dropped their nets. And then there were so many fish. So many fish that they were sinking. So many fish that they had to call others and say, "Come help me." What had Jesus done? And what was going through their mind? Wonder if their eyes got real big. And for Simon, did he think, "Oh my goodness, this isn't normal. This isn't right. There's something about this man." Because he throws himself down. He humbles himself. And he then, at one point, had called Jesus Master. And at this point, he now calls him Lord. This was no ordinary man. This was a man of God. And from this point on, his life would be changed forever. And the other fishermen, too, they were astonished, they were amazed, they were flabbergasted. So many fish, so many provisions. Such a big miracle. You see, because something about Jesus you should know and that we should keep close to our hearts is that Jesus doesn't lead or act out of scarcity. Jesus leads and acts out of abundance. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to have the same faith and the same attitude. It's not supposed to be look what we don't have, but instead look at what God can do with what we have. The disciples, they had empty nets. And Jesus filled them. You see, because what God does and what Christ showed us in this story is that Jesus takes what little we have and somehow mysteriously and miraculously overflows with abundance what we bring to him. And I know we've all had that thought before. How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to get this work done? And then somehow, mysteriously, a gift card shows up, a phone call comes in, or a friend knocks on the door and says, "Let me help." But somehow we also forget. Because sometimes, and I'm going to step on some toes here for a moment, sometimes we forget about God's provision. Sometimes we forget about our faith in Christ that can do incredible things when we just obey. Right? We think that we have to control the situation. Whatever it is that we need to do or get, we think that we need to make it happen instead of saying, "God, you can make it happen." Or sometimes we just get tired. We get exhausted. We're like the disciples where we just want to go home. And isn't it true sometimes in our life and then sometimes in our faith that sometimes it's a whole lot easier to just pack up, close the door, shut down the relationship, and go home? But that's not what Jesus calls us to do. The fishermen, they had so many excuses. And they could have used those excuses to keep them from being obedient. But had they used those excuses to keep them from being obedient, they would have never caught the fish that they had caught. They would have never experienced the miracle, the provision, the abundance that God had for them. And what about unbelief? Right? There's no way. We've been out in the water. There's no fish out there. Forget it. There might have been some cynicism in there. Have you ever been a little cynical? But yet, Simon did it anyways. He listened and he followed Jesus. And what happened? Christ provided. The fishing nets were full. And Jesus overwhelms not only Simon, but all those who were watching and hearing and seeing the commotion take place. Jesus far exceeds any of our expectations when we drop our nets, when we listen, when we are obedient. And even when the odds are against us, even when it doesn't make sense to our rational mind, even when it will take work and change of our plans and require us to let go of our control, Jesus makes all things possible. So, church, how does this passage speak to you? Maybe God is asking you to volunteer somewhere. Maybe it's to foster a child or be a CASA volunteer or serve on the pantry because we're going to need someone to now to fill in some pretty big shoes of Miss Shirley's. Or maybe it's another capacity that you can serve and God is calling you and asking to use your nets or use your resources or use your gifts. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart right now in this moment through this passage? How about at home? Maybe God's saying you need to admit that you're wrong for a minute and you need to take a step back and say, all right, I'm going to do, Lord, as you called me to do. And then something, too, you might want to underline, and I took note of. At the end of the passage, Jesus says something to Simon. He says, do not be afraid. Everyone say that with me. Do not be afraid. You see, sometimes one of the largest things that can hold you back from what God has planned for you is your fear of the unknown. Jesus would proceed to call the fishermen to follow him, and it would be quite fearful to leave a life that they knew, their families, their friends, their comforts. Jesus would lead them to unknown places and unknown people and unknown events. And yet, they didn't let their fear of what was next and what they didn't know or what they had no control of hold them back. Church, as individuals, we need to be a people of faith who won't let our fears, our excuses, or cynicism hold us back. Instead, we need to be a people of faith who trusts God and the abundant provision that God will always provide when we trust him. Instead of using the terms, well, we never will, or we'll never have enough, or I'm too tired, what if we said, there is enough, and God's going to give me the energy to keep going forward, and God is going to provide even when I don't see the way. If we are going to be a thriving people, we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus. Are we hearing what Christ is teaching us through the Word of God? And then finally, I want to close with this thought. I heard a pastor preach this week. And what the preacher was saying, it surprised me at first. Maybe it'll surprise you too. He said, you know those people who jump out of airplanes? Have you ever jumped out of an airplane? Okay, we've got some people who have jumped out of an airplane. Nick, I thought of you. Or maybe bungee jumped. Have you ever bungee jumped? This scares the junk out of me. You have? Oh, that just scares my back and what could happen. Or those people who take big risks, outrageous risks. He said, did you know the people who jump out of airplanes and who bungee jump and take large risks in their life, they are actually more fearful than the people who sit on the couch and watch TV and never leave the door? And that didn't make sense to me because you would think that, folks aren't afraid to jump out of the plane. They're not afraid to jump over the bridge with a bungee hooked to them, I hope to goodness, well and strong Millie. But they are more fearful to take risks than those who never do. And this is why. Because even though they are petrified to jump out of that plane, or even though they are petrified to take that risk, whether it's in business or with their family, there's something inside of them that burns so bright and so hot that any fears cannot keep them from doing what it is that they were called to do. And brothers and sisters, that's the way we need to be as followers of Jesus. That Christ needs to burn so hot and so bright inside of us that no matter how uncomfortable it might be when he calls us, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how frightening it might be, that we will lower our nets because our trust in God is bigger than our fears. And when we trust in God over our fears, wow, get ready. Our nets are going to overflow. And people are going to see. And the good news of Jesus is going to spread. So I pray today and every day that when Jesus calls, you take your nets and you put it in the water. You take your time and you take your resources and you take your gifts and you use them all for the glory of God. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, thank you for this story. We thank you for the faith of Simon. We thank you for the call that you have placed on the disciples' lives, but yet the call that you place on all of our lives. Let us be a people who trust that you provide, that we would take a step back from ourselves and a step forward into you. Let us get over ourselves, but be completely wrapped up into the great works and plans that you have for us. Let us thrive in our faith and just watch the abundant life that you provide. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.